Morelia questions Greeky. Who are the Coniopodes and Artenoi at Epidaurus? The governing body consisted of 180 men. From among these, they chose counselors, whom they called Artenoi. Most of the common people spent their time in the countryside, and they were called Coniopodes, dusty feet, as one can infer, because they were recognized by their dust-covered feet whenever they came down into the city. What is the Onabodies among the Simians? When a woman was caught in adultery, they led her into the marketplace and set her up on a certain stone in plain view of everyone. Then they mounted her on a donkey, and after she had been paraded around the city, she had to stand again on the same stone and remain disgraced for the rest of her life, being called Onabodies, donkey rider. They considered the stone unclean after this and purified it. There was also among them a certain office called the Phylactos. The man holding this office kept guard over the prison the rest of the time, but when he came into the council in its nighttime session, he would lead the kings out by the hand and hold them until the council determined concerning them, whether they were guilty or not, casting their vote in secret. Who is the Hypocaustria among the Solians? This is what they call the priestess of Athena, because she performs certain apotropaic sacrifices and rites. Who are the Amnemones at Cnidus, and who is the Ephester? They employed 60 men chosen from the best families as a kind of board of overseers for life, also serving as counselors on the most important matters. They were called Amnemones, unmindful ones, as one might guess, because of their being unaccountable, unless indeed, by Zeus, they were in fact men of excellent memory. The one who put the questions to them for their opinions was the Ephester. Who are those among the Arcadians and Lacedaemonians called Crestae? When the Lacedaemonians were reconciled with the Tegeans, they made a treaty and set up a joint pillar by the Alpheus, on which, among other things, it was written, to expel the Messenians from the land and not to be permitted to make them crest. Aristotle, explaining this, says it means not to put to death, as a favor to those of the Tegeans who sided with the Laconians. Who is the Crithologos among the Opuntians? Most of the Greeks in their very ancient sacrifices used barley, the citizens offering it as first fruits. The official in charge of the sacrifices, who collected these first fruits, they called the Crithologos, barley gatherer. They had two priests, one appointed over matters divine, the other over matters concerning the daimones. What are the Pleiades clouds? They called Pleiades, floating ones, especially the rain-laden clouds that drift about, as Theophrastus says in the fourth book of his work on things in the upper air, in these words. Since these floating clouds too, and the compact ones, though motionless and quite white in color, show some difference in their substance, in that they are neither turning to water nor turning to vapor. Who is the Platychates among the Boeotians? In their Aeolic dialect, they call by this name those who are neighbors sharing a house or bordering fields, as having the greatest share of proximity. I will quote one passage from the law concerning the office of the Smophylax, there being several such passages. Who is the Hosioter among the Delphians, and why do they call one of the months Bisios? They call Hosioter the sacrificial victim, whenever it has been designated Hosios, sacred pure. There are five Hosioi for life, and they perform most of their rites together with the prophets and join in the sacred ceremonies, since they are held to be descended from Deucalion. As for the month Bisios, as most people suppose, it comes from Physios, of nature, for it marks the beginning of spring, when most things then grow and sprout. But the truth is not so, for the Delphians do not use beta in place of phi, as the Macedonians do when they say bilipos and balacros and baronic, but rather in place of pi. For indeed they call patine to tread, batine, and picron, bitter they commonly call bicron. Bisios, then, is Pisios, the month in which they inquire and make inquiry of the god, for to inquire, pinthenstai, is also an ancestral practice. For in this month the oracle was given, and they consider this the seventh day to be the god's birthday, and they call it Polyphthus, not because of the baking of cakes, phthois, but because it is a month of much inquiry and much divination. For it was only later that the monthly oracular consultations were granted to petitioners. Before that, the Pythia gave oracles only once a year, on this very day, as Callisthenes and Anaxandrides have recorded. What is the Phyxemlon? It belongs to the small, ground-hugging plants, whose shoots, when grazing animals come upon them, they nibble down and damage and harm their growth. Whenever, then, they shoot up and attain some size and escape being harmed by the grazing animals, they are called phyxeimla, escaping the flocks. The witness for this is Aeschylus. Who are the Aposphendont? The island of Corcyra was inhabited by Eretrians. When Charicrates sailed from Corinth with an armed force and was prevailing in the war, the Eretrians boarded their ships and sailed off homeward. But the islanders, having gotten wind of this beforehand, kept them from the land and prevented them from disembarking by slinging stones at them. Being unable either to persuade or to force their way past them, since they were numerous and unyielding, they sailed toward Thrace, and having occupied a place where, they say, Methon, an ancestor of Orpheus, had formerly lived, they named the city Methon, but were called by their neighbors Aposphendont. Those driven off by slinging. Who is Charilla among the Delphians? The Delphians hold three festivals every 9 years in succession, of which they call the one the Stepterion, the second the Heroes, and the third Charilla. Now the Stepterion seems to be an imitation of the god's battle with Python, and of his flight and pursuit afterward to Tempe. For some say he fled after the killing because he needed purification, while others say that he followed Python, who was wounded and fleeing along the road we now call the Sacred Way, and just missed catching him at the end. For he found him just dead of the wound and already tended in burial by the boy whose name was Aix, as they say. The Stepterion, then, is an imitation of these events or of others like them. But most of the ceremony of the Heroes involves a mystic account, which the Theades know, though from what is done openly one might guess it relates to the bringing up of Semele. Concerning Charilla, they tell some such tale as this. A famine from drought gripped the Delphians, and they came to the doors of the king with their children and wives and made supplication. He distributed some of the barley meal and pulse to those better known to him, for there was not enough for everyone. When a little orphan girl, still young, came and kept begging insistently, he struck her with his sandal and flung the sandal in her face. She, being poor and destitute but not ignoble in character, went off out of the way and, loosening her girdle, hanged herself. As the famine grew worse and diseases were added to it, the Pythia gave an oracle to the king that he must propitiate Charilla, a maiden who had died by her own hand. With difficulty, they discovered that this had been the name of the girl who had been struck, and they performed a sacrifice mixed with a rite of purification, which they still carry out even now every 9 years. For the king sits in state, distributing the barley meal and pulse to everyone, both strangers and citizens, while an image of Charilla as a child is brought forward. And when everyone has received their share, the king strikes the image with the sandal, and the leader of the Theades takes it up and carries it to a certain ravine, and there, having tied a cord around the image's neck, they bury it in the very place where they buried Charilla after she hanged herself. What is the beggar's meat among the Aenians? There have been several migrations of the Aenians. First, while living around the Dotian plain, they were driven out by the Lapiths into the region of the Ethuses. From there, they occupied the region of Molossia around the Arayuas River, from which they were named Parawai. Afterward, they occupied Sura, and at Sura, having stoned their king Onoclus to death at the god's command, they went down into the region around the Inachus, which was inhabited by the Aenetians and Achaeans. An oracle was given that whoever should give up any part of the land would lose all of it, while whoever should receive land willingly given would keep it. Temen, a man of note among the Aenians, took up rags and a beggar's wallet as though he were going to beg, and came to the Aenetians. And when the king, in insolence and to raise a laugh, gave him a clod of earth, he took it, put it in his wallet, and vanished, well pleased with the gift, for he departed at once without begging for anything more. The elders, astonished, called the oracle to mind, and went to the king and told him not to scorn the man nor let him get away. Temen then, perceiving their intention, set off in flight and escaped, after vowing a hecatomb to Apollo. As a result of this, the kings fought a duel, and Phemius of the Aenians, seeing Hyperochus of the Aenetians coming against him with a dog, said he was not acting fairly, bringing a second combatant into the fight. When Hyperochus drove off the dog and turned around, Phemius struck him with a stone and killed him. Having thereby won the land, and having driven out the Aenetians together with the Achaeans, they revere that stone as sacred and sacrifice to it, and cover it with the fat of the victim. Whenever they render the hecatomb to Apollo, after consecrating an ox to Zeus, they set aside a special portion for the descendants of Temen, and this they call beggar's meat. Who are the Coleadae among the Ithacans, and what is the Phagilos? After the slaughter of the suitors, the relatives of the dead rose up against Odysseus. Summoned by both parties as arbitrator, Neoptolemus judged that Odysseus should leave and go into exile from Cephallenia and Zacynthus and Ithaca on account of the bloodshed, while the companions and kinsmen of the suitors should pay compensation to Odysseus every year for the wrongs done to his household. Odysseus himself then removed to Italy, but he consecrated the payment to his son and ordered the Ithacans to bring it to him. It consisted of barley meal, wine, honeycombs, oil, salt, and sacrificial animals older than phagiloi. Aristotle says a phagilos is a lamb. Telemachus freed the followers of Eumaeus and mingled them among the citizens, and from Eumaeus comes the clan of the Coleadae, and from Philodius the clan of the Bucolidae. What is the wooden dog among the Locrians? Locris was the son of Physius, son of Amphictyon, and from him and Cabi came Opis. Locris, having quarreled with his father and taken along a good number of the citizens, sought an oracle concerning a colony. When the god told him to found a city wherever he happened to be bitten by a wooden dog, he was crossing to the other sea when he trod on a briar bush, Caenis Botos. Troubled by the wound, he spent several days there, during which time he became acquainted with the region and founded the cities of Physis and Hyantea, and the others which the Locrians called Ozoli came to inhabit. As for the name Ozolian Locrians, some say it comes from Nessus, others say it comes from the serpent Python, saying that they were washed ashore by the sea and rotted in the land of the Locrians. Some say it is because the people wore skins and goat hides, and spending most of their time with goat herds, became foul-smelling. But others say the opposite, that the land, being full of flowers, took its name from its fragrance. Among them is Archytas of Amphissa, for he has written of grape-garlanded, fragrant Massina, lovely. What is the garment called a fibroma by the Megareans? Nisus, from whom Nicaea was named, ruling from Boeotia, married a Brote, daughter of Onchestus and sister of Megareus, a wife, as it seems, of exceptional and outstanding good sense. When she died, the Megareans mourned her of their own accord, and Nisus, wishing to establish an everlasting memory and renown for her, ordered the women of the city to wear the robe which she had worn and named the robe a fibroma after her. The god, too, seems to have lent support to the woman's renown, for many times, when the Megarean women wished to change their garments, an oracle prevented them. Who is the Doryxenos? In ancient times, the Megarid was inhabited village by village, its citizens divided into five groups. They were called Heres, Peres, Megares, and Sinosaures and Tripodiscioi. When the Corinthians brought about war among them against one another, for they were always scheming to bring the Megarid under their own control. Nevertheless, out of decency, they waged war gently and as kinsmen. For no one ever wronged those engaged in farming at all, and those who were captured had to pay a fixed ransom, which was accepted, and they were then released. Formerly, they did not even exact this, but whoever took a captive brought him home, and after sharing salt and table with him, sent him back home. The one who had brought the ransom was praised and remained forever a friend of the man who had taken him, being addressed as Doryxenos, guest friend won by the spear, from having been a captive of war. But the one who defrauded him was held in disrepute, not only among the enemy, but also among his own citizens, as unjust and untrustworthy. What is the Palintokia? When the Megareans expelled the tyrant Thegeans, they behaved with moderation for a short time in their government. But then, as the popular leaders poured out for them abundant and unmixed freedom, as Plato says, they became utterly corrupted and treated the wealthy insolently in other respects as well. The poor would go into their houses and demand to be entertained and dined sumptuously, and if they did not get what they wanted, they used force and violence against everyone. Finally, having passed a decree, they exacted back the interest from the moneylenders to whom they had actually paid it, calling this practice palintokia, interest paid back. What is Anthedon, concerning which the Pythia said, drink wine of the lees, since you do not dwell in Anthedon, for the Boeotian Anthedon is not rich in wine? They used to call Caleria in ancient times Irene, after a woman named Irene, who they say was born of Poseidon and Melanthea, daughter of Alpheus. Later, when the descendants of Anthes and Hyperes settled there, they called the island Anthedonia and Hyperia. The oracle ran as follows, according to Aristotle: drink wine of the lees, since you do not dwell in Anthedon, nor in sacred Hypera, where you used to drink unleased wine. So says Aristotle. But M. Nasigiton says that Anthes, who was Hyper's brother, was lost while still an infant, and that Hyper, wandering in search of him, came to ferry to Acastus, where by chance Anthes was serving as a slave, appointed to pour the wine. So, as they were feasting, the boy, bringing the cup to his sister, recognized her and said to her quietly, drink wine of the lees, since you do not dwell in Anthedon. What is the saying at Preen? Darkness by the oak. The Samians and Preenians at war with one another generally inflicted and suffered moderate damage. But a great battle took place in which the Preenians killed 1,000 Samians. 7 years later, engaging the Milesians near the place called the Oak, they lost their best, and at the same time, foremost citizens, on which occasion Bias the Sage, sent as ambassador from Preen to Samos, distinguished himself. Because this suffering had proved so bitter and grievous a calamity for the wives of the Preenians, a curse was established, and an oath, concerning the most important matters, the darkness by the oak, because their children and fathers and husbands were slaughtered there. Who are those among the Cretans called the burnt ones? They say that the Tyrrhenians, who had seized the daughters and wives of the Athenians from Brauron at the time when they were living in Lemnos and Imbros, and were afterward driven out, came to Laconia and formed a union with the native women there until children were born to them. But because of suspicion and slander, they were again forced to leave Laconia and sailed to Crete with their wives and children under the leadership of Polys and Delphus. There, warring against those who held Crete, they for a time allowed many of those who died in battle to lie unburied. At first because they were too occupied with the war and its dangers, but later because, once they had grown accustomed to shrinking from the task, they were reluctant to touch corpses that had already decayed with time and dissolved. So Polys devised certain honors, privileges, and exemptions, and assigned some of these to the priests of the gods and others to the buriers of the dead, consecrating the latter as well to the Thonic spirits, so that they might remain inviolable. Then he divided them by lot with Delphus. Some were called priests, the others burnt ones. And these lived under their own laws, and along with their other privileges enjoyed immunity from prosecution for the offenses which the other Cretans habitually commit against one another, driving off and carrying away goods by stealth. For those men, it was said, committed no wrong, neither stealing anything nor taking anything away. What is the tomb of the children among the Chalcidians? Cothus and Aeclus, the sons of Zuthus, came to Euboea to settle it, at a time when the Aeolians still held most of the island. Cothus had an oracle that he would fare well and prevail over his enemies if he bought the land. So he landed with a few companions and came upon some little boys playing by the sea. Joining in their games and being friendly with them, he showed them many foreign toys. When he saw that the boys were eager to have them, he said he would not give them unless he received some of their land from them. So the boys, picking it up from the ground, gave it to him, and having received the toys, they went off. But the Aeolians, learning what had happened, and with their enemies bearing down on them by sea, in anger and grief put the boys to death. They were buried beside the road that leads from the city to the Euripus, and the place is called the Children's Tomb. Who is the Mixarchagetas at Argos, and who are the Elasioi? They call Castor Mixarchagetas, and believe he is buried among them. Polydeuces they revere as one of the Olympians. Those who are thought able to ward off epileptic seizures they call Elasioi. They are believed to be descendants of Alexida, daughter of Amphiaraus. What is the Anknisma spoken of among the Argives? It is the custom of those who have lost a relative or a close friend to sacrifice to Apollo immediately after the period of mourning, and 30 days later to Hermes. For they believe that, just as the earth receives the bodies of the dead, so Hermes receives their souls. And to the attendant of Apollo, they give barley and receive in return meat from the sacrificial victim, and having extinguished the fire as polluted and kindled a new one from others, they roast this meat, calling it Anknisma. Who is the vengeful Alastor, and who is the Alatarios or Palamneos? One should not believe those who say that Alatarioi got their name from those who, during a famine, watch for a man grinding grain and plunder him. Rather, Alastor is the name given to one who has done deeds that will not be forgotten, Alersta, and will be remembered for a long time. Alatarios is one whom it was right to shun and guard against because of his wickedness. These things, says Socrates, are written on bronze tablets. What is the meaning behind the custom, whereby those who lead the ox from Enus to Cassiopeia, as they escort the maidens, sing all the way to the border? May you never return to your dear native land. The Aenianians, driven out by the Lapiths, first settled around Aethacia, then around Molossia and Cassiopeia, and having nothing good from that region, and moreover suffering from harsh neighbors, they came to the Cirrhian plain, led by their king Onoclus. There, when a great drought occurred, they stoned Onoclus to death in accordance with an oracle, as the story goes, and after wandering again, they arrived at the land they now hold, which is good and abundant in every crop. Hence it is fitting that they pray to the gods never to return to their former homeland, but to remain there in prosperity. Why is it that among the Rhodians no herald enters the shrine of Ocridion? Is it because Ochimus betrothed his daughter Cydip to Ocridion? But Sir Caphus, who was Ochimus's brother and was in love with the girl, persuaded the herald, for it was the custom for heralds to fetch brides, when he came to take Cydip, to bring her to him instead. When this had been done, Sir Caphus fled with the girl, and only returned later, after Ochimus had grown old. And so it became the custom among the Rhodians that no herald should approach the shrine of Ocridion, because of the wrong that had been done. Why is it that among the Tenedians a flute player is not permitted to enter the Temple of Tens, nor is Achilles to be mentioned within the temple? Is it because, when his stepmother slandered Tens, claiming that he wished to have intercourse with her, Malpas the flute player bore false witness against him, and because of this it fell to Tens to flee, to Tenedos, together with his sister? It is said that Achilles's mother Thetis strongly forbade him to kill Tens, since he was honored by Apollo, and she charged one of the household servants to be watchful and remind him, lest Achilles unwittingly kill Tens. But when Achilles, overrunning Tenedos, was pursuing the sister of Tens, who was beautiful, Tens met him and defended his sister. She escaped, but Tens was killed. When Achilles recognized the fallen man, he killed the servant, because he had been present but had not reminded him, and he buried Tens where his temple now stands, and neither does a flute player enter it, nor is Achilles named there. Who is the Polites among the Epidamnians? The Epidamnians, being neighbors of the Illyrians, noticed that the citizens who mixed with them were becoming corrupt, and fearing revolution, they chose one man each year, from among those approved by them, to handle such contracts and exchanges with the barbarians. This man, going among the barbarians, provided a market and arrangements for all the citizens, and was called Polites, the seller. What is the Thracian headland of Arius? The Andrians and Chalcidians, sailing to Thrace to settle it, jointly took the city of Sane through treachery. And on learning that the barbarians had abandoned Acanthus, they sent two scouts. When these, approaching the city, perceived that the enemy had entirely fled, the Chalcidian scout ran ahead so as to seize the city for the Chalcidians, while the Andrian, unable to keep pace, hurled his spear. And when it stuck fast in the gates, he shouted loudly that the city had been taken beforehand by the spear of the sons of Andros. From this a dispute arose, and without going to war, they agreed to have the Erythraeans, Samians, and Parians judge the whole matter. But when the Erythraeans and Samians cast their vote for the Andrians, while the Parians voted for the Chalcidians, the Andrians laid curses concerning this place upon the Parians, that they should neither give a wife to the Parians nor take one from them. And for this reason they named it the Headland of Arius, though it had previously been called the Headland of Draco. Why is it that at the Thysmophoria, the women of Eretria roast the meat not over fire but in the sun, and do not invoke Callignea? Is it because it fell to the captive women whom Agamemnon was bringing from Troy to sacrifice to the Thysmophoroi there, but a voyage suddenly appearing possible, they put to sea, leaving the sacrifice unfinished? Who are the ever-sailors among the Milesians? When the tyrants around Thoas and Damasner were overthrown, two political clubs held the city, one called Plutes, the other Cherimacha. Those in power, having brought affairs under the control of their club, used to deliberate on the most important matters while embarking on ships and putting out to sea, away from the land. It happened that they had to perform the Thysmophoria sacrifice, and when a favorable voyage appeared, they would embark on the ships and sail out far from the land. Having ratified their decision, they would then sail back to shore, and for this reason they were called Eversailers. Why do the Chalcidians call the place around the Peisophion the meeting place of the men in their prime? They say that Nauplius, being pursued by the Achaeans, took refuge with the Chalcidians as a suppliant, and partly defended himself against the charge, and partly brought countercharges of his own against the Achaeans. The Chalcidians then had no intention of handing him over, but fearing that he might be treacherously killed, they gave him as a guard the young men in their prime, and stationed them in this place, where they used to gather together, and at the same time keep watch over Nauplius. Who is the man who sacrificed an ox to his benefactor? A pirate ship lay at anchor off Ithaca, on which there happened to be an old man among jars containing pitch. By chance, an Ithacan ferryman named Pyrrhias turned his attention to this, and rescued the old man, asking for nothing in return, but moved by his entreaty and taking pity on him. And at the old man's bidding, he took the jars as well. When the pirates had gone and there was no more danger, the old man brought Pyrrhias to the jars and showed him that they held a great deal of gold and silver mixed in with the pitch. So Pyrrhias, suddenly become rich, treated the old man well in all other respects and also sacrificed an ox to him. This is the origin of the proverb they use. No one but Pyrrhias ever sacrificed an ox to his benefactor. Why was it the custom for the maidens of the Bacchaeans to say, as they danced, "Let us go to Athens"? They say that the Cretans, in fulfillment of a vow, sent to Delphi the first fruits of their people, and those who were sent, seeing that there was no prospect of provision for themselves, set out from there to found a colony. And they first settled in Iapygia, and afterward took possession of this region of Thrace, with Athenians mingled among them. For it seems that Minos did not put to death the young men whom the Athenians sent as tribute, but kept them at his court in servitude. Some of the descendants of these, then, being considered Cretans, were sent along to Delphi. Hence the daughters of the Bacchaeans, in remembrance of their lineage, used to sing at their festivals, "Let us go to Athens." Why do the women of Elis, in their hymn to Dionysus, invite him to come to them with the foot of an ox? The hymn runs thus: "Come, hero Dionysus, to the holy temple of the Eleans with the graces to the temple with your ox foot raging." Then twice they sing, "Worthy bull." Is it because they call the god both ox-born and, some of them, actually a bull, or do they mean by ox-footed one with a great foot, just as the poet calls the large-eyed woman ox-eyed, Bupes, and the boastful man Baugios? Or rather is it because the foot of an ox is harmless, while its horn is harmful, and so they are inviting the god to come gently and without causing hurt? Or is it because many believe the god to have been the originator of both plowing and sowing? Why is there, before the city of the Tanagrians, a place called Achillean, so named? For it is said that Achilles bore more enmity than friendship toward the city, having carried off Stratonis, the mother of Pomander, and having killed Acestor, the son of Ephippus. Now Pomander, the father of Ephippus, when the region of Tanagra was still inhabited village by village, was besieged in the place called Stephon by the Achaeans because he was unwilling to join their campaign, and abandoned that place by night and fortified Pomandria. Polycrithus, the architect, being present and belittling and mocking the works, leapt over the trench. Pomander, enraged, rushed to hurl a great stone at him, one that had lain hidden there from ancient times, set upon nocturnal sacred rites. Tearing this up in ignorance, Pomander threw it and, missing Polycrithus, killed his son Leucippus instead. Now by law he ought to have gone into exile from Boeotia, having become one who, though a guest bound by hearth and supplication, had shed kindred blood. But this was not easy, since the Achaeans had invaded the territory of Tanagra. So he sent his son Ephippus to entreat Achilles. Achilles, having been persuaded, brought him in along with Telepolemus, son of Heracles, and Peneleos, son of Hippalcmus, all of whom were his own kinsmen. Escorted by these men, Pomander was sent to Chalcis and purified of the killing by Elephenor, and he honored these men and set apart sacred precincts for them all, of which the precinct of Achilles has preserved even the name. Who are the Soloes among the Boeotians, and who are the Oleae? They say that the daughters of Minyas, Leucip, Arsinoe, and Alcatho, went mad and conceived a desire for human flesh, and cast lots concerning their own children. When the lot fell to Lucip, she gave up her son Hippasus to be torn apart. Their husbands, wearing mourning garb out of grief and sorrow, were called Soloes, sooty ones, and the women themselves Olei, that is, destructive. And to this day, the people of Orchomenus give these names to those descended from that family. And every other year at the festival of the Agrionia, there occurs a flight and pursuit of these women by the priest of Dionysus, who carries a sword. It is permitted to kill whichever of them is caught, and in our own time, the priest Zoilus did kill one. But it turned out well for none of them, for Zoilus himself, falling ill from a trivial wound that festered, wasted away for a long time and died, and the Orchomenians, beset by public misfortunes and legal penalties, transferred the priesthood out of that family, choosing the best man from among all the citizens instead. Why do the Arcadians stone to death those who enter the Lycium willingly, but if they do so unknowingly, send them off to Eleutherae? Is it because those so released are thought to be set free, and thus the account gained credence, so that to Eleutherae came to mean the same as to the land of Emiles, and you will come to the seat of Arasas? Or is it, according to the myth, because Eleuther and Lebedus alone of the sons of Lycaon had no part in the pollution committed against Zeus, but fled into Boeotia, and the Lebedians have equal citizenship with the Arcadians? And so, they send those who unwittingly entered the forbidden precinct of Zeus off to Eleutherae. Or is it, as Archytimus says in his Arcadian history, that some men who had entered unknowingly were handed over by the Arcadians to the Phlyasians, by the Phlyasians to the Megareans, and being conveyed from the Megareans toward Thebes, were overtaken near Eleutherae by rain, thunder, and other portents from Zeus, from which some say the place came to be called Eleutherae? As for the claim that no shadow falls from a man who has entered the Lycium, this is said not truthfully, but it has gained strong credence. Is it because the air turns to clouds and grows dark and gloomy over those who enter, or because the one who enters is doomed to die, and the Pythagoreans say that the souls of the dead cast no shadow and do not blink? Or does the sun indeed cast a shadow, but the? Or does the law take away the sun from the one who has entered? This is what they mean by their riddling way of speaking, for the one who enters is also called a stag, elaphos. This is why, when Cantharion the Arcadian deserted to the Eleans, who were at war with the Arcadians, and crossed into the forbidden precinct together with plunder, and then, when the war ended, fled to Sparta, the Lacedaemonians handed him over to the Arcadians, the god having commanded them to give back the stag. Who is the hero Eunostos at Tanagra, and for what reason is his sacred grove forbidden to women? Eunostos was the son of Eleus, son of Cephasus, and of Ceas. They say he received this name because he was raised by a nymph named Eunosta. Being handsome and just, he was no less self-controlled and strict, and they say that Ochna, one of the daughters of Colonus, his cousin, fell in love with him. But when Eunostos rebuffed her advances, and after reproaching her, went off to accuse her to her brothers, the girl got ahead of him and did this very thing against him herself, and incited her brothers Echemus, Leon, and Bucolus to kill Eunostos, claiming that he had forced himself on her. So they lay in ambush and killed the young man. Eleus then put them in chains, but Ochna, filled with remorse and turmoil, at once wishing to free herself of the grief caused by her love, and at the same time pitying her brothers, told Eleus the whole truth, and he reported it to Colonus. When Colonus held a trial, Ochna's brothers went into exile, and she herself threw herself off a cliff, as Meades of Anthedon, the lyric poetess, has recorded. Eunostos' shrine and grove were kept so completely off-limits and inaccessible to women that whenever earthquakes, droughts, or other divine portents occurred, the people of Tanagra would carefully search and inquire whether some woman had, without their noticing, approached the place. And some of them, among whom was Clademus, a distinguished man, would say that they had met Eunostos walking toward the sea to bathe, as a sign that a woman had entered the precinct. Diocles, too, in his treatise on heroes, records a decree of the Tanagrians concerning the matters Clademus reported. Why in Boeotia, near Ilion, is there a river named Scamander? Damachus, son of Ilion and a companion of Heracles, took part in the campaign against Troy. As the war, it seems, dragged on, Glaucia, daughter of Scamander, fell in love with him, he accepted her, and got her with child. He himself then fell fighting the Trojans, while Glaucia, fearing to be found out, took refuge with Heracles and confessed to him her love and the union she had had with Damachus. He, partly out of pity for the woman and partly rejoicing that offspring of a good and close companion would survive, took Glaucia aboard his ships, and when she had given birth to a son, brought her to Boeotia and delivered both the child and her to Ilion. The boy was named Scamander and became king of the country. He renamed the river Inachus Scamander after himself and the nearby stream Glaucia after his mother, and he named the spring Isidusa after his own wife, by whom he had three daughters, whom they honor to this day, calling them the maidens. From what source did the proverbial saying, "This one has the right," arise? Dinon the Tarentine, while serving as general, a man capable in matters of war, once had one of his proposals voted down by the citizens. When the herald announced the winning motion, he himself raised his right hand and said, "This one is stronger, so Theophrastus has recorded it." Apollodorus, in his rightness, adds a further detail. When the herald said, "These votes are more numerous," Dinon replied, "But these are better," and thereby ratified the show of hands of the minority. From what source was the city of the Ithacans called Alalcomene? It is because Anticlea, violated by Sisyphus while still a maiden, conceived Odysseus, a story told by a number of authors. Istor of Alexandria, in his commentaries, adds that when she was given in marriage to Laertes and was being brought to him by sea, she gave birth to Odysseus near Alalcomenium in Boeotia, and that this is why he, referring to it as it were his mother city, gave that name to the city in Ithaca, calling it by the same name. Who are the Loneaters, Monophag, at Aegina? Of the Aeginetans who campaigned against Troy, many perished in battle, and still more at sea in a storm during the voyage home. Their relatives, receiving back the few who survived, and seeing that the rest of the citizens were in mourning and grief, thought it right neither to rejoice openly nor to sacrifice to the gods. Instead, each family privately at home welcomed back the survivors with feasting and warm greetings, waiting on their own fathers, kinsmen, brothers, and household themselves, with no outsider allowed in. In imitation of this, they now hold a sacrifice to Poseidon called the Thiasoi, in which they feast by themselves in silence for 16 days with no slave present. Then, after celebrating the aphrodisia, they bring the festival to a close. It is from this that they are called Loneaters. Why is the statue of Zeus Labrandius in Caria made holding a raised axe rather than a scepter or a thunderbolt? Because Heracles, after killing Hippolyta and taking her axe along with her other weapons, gave it as a gift to Omphale. The kings of Lydia after Omphale wore it as one of their sacred emblems, passed down in succession, until Candaules, thinking it beneath him, gave it to one of his companions to carry. When Gyges revolted and went to war against him, Arcelles came from Mylasa with a force to aid Gyges, and killed both Candaules and his companion, and carried the axe off to Caria along with the rest of the spoils. There he had a statue of Zeus made and put the axe in its hand, and named the god Labrandius, for the Lydians call an axe a labris. Why do the Trallians call Vetch the purifier, and use it especially for ritual expiations and purifications? Is it because the Leleges and Minyans once drove them out and held the city and territory themselves, and later the Trallians came down and conquered it? And as for those of the Leleges who were neither destroyed nor fled, but were left behind there because of their helplessness and poverty, they took no account of these people, whether they lived or died, and made a law that any Trallian who killed a Minyan or a Leleges should be counted pure, provided he paid out a measure of vetch to the relatives of the man he had killed. Why is it proverbial among the Eleans to say, to suffer worse things than Sambicus? It is said that a certain Sambicus of Eli's, who had many accomplices working under him, stole a great many of the bronze dedications at Olympia and sold them off, and finally plundered the sanctuary of Artemis Episcopos. This sanctuary is in Eli's and is called the Aristarchion. Immediately after this act of sacrilege, he was caught and tortured for a whole year, being interrogated about each of his accomplices, and died in this manner. And the proverb arose from what he suffered. Why in Laestemon is the hero shrine of Odysseus set up beside the sanctuary of the Leucippides? Ergius, one of the descendants of Diomedes, persuaded by Temenus, stole the palladium out of Argos, with Legris, one of Temenus' intimates, aware of and joining in the theft. Later, having fallen out with Temenus in anger, Legris moved to Laestemon, bringing the palladium with him. The kings there received it eagerly and set it up near the sanctuary of the Leucippides, and, sending to Delphi, they inquired by oracle about its safekeeping and preservation. When the gods' answer indicated that one of those who had taken the palladium should be made its guardian, they set up there the hero shrine of Odysseus, supposing besides that this hero had a claim on their city because of his marriage to Penelope. Why is it the custom among the women of Chalcedon, whenever they meet men who are not their own, especially magistrates, to veil one cheek? They had a war with the Bithynians, who were provoked to hostility on every pretext. When Zipoetes became their king, he mustered his whole force, and with the addition of Thracian reinforcements, burned and overran the countryside. When Zipoetes attacked them at a place called Phalium, they fought badly, through recklessness and lack of discipline, and lost more than 8,000 soldiers. They were not entirely wiped out at that time, since Zipoetes granted the Byzantines terms of peace. But since a great dearth of men now gripped the city, most of the women, out of necessity, married freedmen and resident aliens, while others chose to remain unmarried rather than accept such marriages, and conducted their own business before judges and magistrates by themselves, drawing back one side of their veil from their face. The married women, out of shame, imitating these women as their betters, adopted a similar custom. Why do the Argives drive their sheep up to the precinct of Agenor and have them mate there? Is it because Agenor cared for sheep better than any other king and possessed more flocks than any of them? Why do the children of Argus, playing at a certain festival, call themselves Ballocradi? Is it because the first people whom Inachus led down from the heights to the plains were sustained on wild pears? For wild pears were the first fruit to appear to the Greeks in the Peloponnese, when that land was still called Appia, whence wild pears were named Apioi? What is the reason why the Eleans lead their mares in heat outside their borders before letting them be covered? Is it because Onimaus, who of all kings was most fond of horses and cherished the animal above all, called down many terrible curses on those who covered mares within Elis, and they, fearing that curse, purify themselves of it by this practice? Why was it the custom among the Nauseans that borrowers should seize the money themselves? Is it so that, if they defaulted, they would be liable for a crime of violence and punished the more severely? What is the reason for which, at Samos, they call a certain Aphrodite, the Aphrodite of Dexicrian? Is it because their women, behaving licentiously out of luxury and wanton excess, were purified by Dexicrian, a wandering priest charlatan who used a purification rite and freed them of it? Or is it rather that Dexicrian, a shipowner, sailed to Cyprus on business, and when he was about to load his ship, Aphrodite bade him take on water and nothing else, and sail off as quickly as possible? Persuaded, he loaded a great quantity of water and set sail. And then, when a windless calm settled over the sea, he sold water to the other merchants and shipowners, who were dying of thirst, and collected a great sum of money from this, and out of it he had a statue of the goddess made and named after himself. If this is true, it appears that the goddess did not wish to enrich one man alone, but through one man to save many. Why is it that among the Samians, whenever they sacrifice to Hermes the gift giver, anyone who wishes is permitted to steal and to strip passers-by of their cloaks? Because, once, in obedience to an oracle, they moved from the island to Mycale and lived for 10 years by piracy, and afterward, sailing back to the island again, the Samians overcame their enemies. From what is a place on the island of Samos called Panema, all blood? Is it because the Amazons, fleeing Dionysus from the territory of Ephesus, sailed across to Samos, and he, having built ships and crossed over, joined battle with them and killed many of them around this place, which, because of the great quantity of blood that flowed there, was called Panema by those who beheld it in wonder? Some are said to have died around Phloian, and their bones are shown there, and some say that Phloian, the bark, split open at their deaths, when they cried out with some loud, piercing sound. For what reason is the men's hall at Samos called Petites, the fettered, when the landowners Geomor held the government after the murder of Demodals and the overthrow of his one-man rule? The Megareans made war on the Perinthians, who were colonists of the Samians, bringing along fetters, it is said, for the prisoners they expected to take. When the landowners learned of this, they sent help with speed, appointing 9 generals and manning 30 ships. Of these, 2, as they were sailing out, were destroyed by a thunderbolt off the harbor. The generals, sailing on with the rest, defeated the Megareans and took 600 of them alive. Elated by the victory, they resolved to overthrow the oligarchy of the landowners back home. Now the leaders of the government provided them the occasion themselves, by writing instructions that the Megarean captives should be brought back bound in their own fetters. So the generals took these instructions, and showing them secretly to some of the Megarean captives, persuaded them to join forces with them and to help free the city. When they deliberated together about the plan, they decided to knock loose the rings of the fetters, and, having fitted them in this way around the Megareans' legs, to fasten them up to their belts with straps, so that they would not slip and fall off as they walked, once the fetters had been loosened. Having thus equipped the men and given each a sword when they sailed to Samos and disembarked, they led them through the marketplace to the council chamber, where practically all the landowners were sitting together. Then, at a signal given, the Megareans fell upon them and killed the men. When the city had been freed in this way, they made citizens of those Megareans who wished it, and, having built a spacious house, dedicated the fetters in it. And from this the house was named Petites. Why, among the cones, does the priest of Heracles at Antimachia, dressed in women's clothing and with his head bound up in a headband, begin the sacrifice? Heracles, having set sail from Troy with 6 ships, was caught in a storm, and when the other ships were destroyed, he was driven with the one remaining ship, by the wind, onto Kos and put ashore at the place called Lassiter, having saved nothing but his weapons and his men. Coming upon some sheep, he asked the shepherd for 1 ram. The man was called Antigoras, and being at the peak of his bodily strength, he challenged Heracles to wrestle him, on condition that if he threw him, he could carry off the ram. When Heracles closed with him in a grapple, the Meropes came to Antigoras' aid, and the Greeks to Heracles, and a fierce battle broke out. It is said that Heracles, overwhelmed by their numbers, took refuge with a Thracian woman and escaped notice by concealing himself in women's clothing. When he had once more overcome the Meropes, and having been purified, married the daughter of Alcyapus, he put on a flowered robe. This is why the priest sacrifices at the place where the battle happened to take place, and why bridegrooms receive their brides while wearing women's dress. From what does the class called wagon rollers at Megara take its origin? Under the licentious democracy, which also brought about the cancellation of debts and the plundering of temples, a delegation of Peloponnesians was traveling to Delphi through Megarean territory and made camp for the night at Egeri by the lake, with their children and wives, just as they happened to be in their wagons. The most reckless of the Megareans, having gotten drunk, in wanton violence and cruelty, rolled the wagons over into the lake and pushed them in, so that many of the pilgrims were drowned. The Megareans then, because of the disorder of their state, took no notice of the crime, but the Amphictyons, since the mission was a sacred one, the Amphictyons turned their attention to the matter and punished the offenders, some with exile, some with death. Their descendants were called the wagon rollers.